Welcome back to another episode of Ask a Clutter Boss, the internet's best, favorite, and possibly only weekly decluttering advice show. I am Jess Marcy. I am your Clutter Boss for today. And as usual, lots of great questions. So happy first day of spring. It's funny because a lot of the questions are kind of relevant to spring and spring cleaning, and I'm excited to dive into them. If you're watching this on YouTube, please go ahead and like and subscribe to our channel. It really helps us keep this content free, keep this content coming. It means a lot to an internet-based business to have likes, comments, and shares. So that's my little plug for today. Let's dive into these questions. Number one, we actually have 5 questions in a row about cleaning your kitchen. So that's obviously a big topic for today's Ask Jess, but there's a couple of other questions too. So we're going to kind of consolidate the kitchen questions, answer those, and then go on to the other questions. Are there any tips for cleaning the fridge? It always seems like a large job. I'm trying to get my pantry and fridge in order because it's always chaos in there. I can never find anything, and I end up tossing out stuff that's gone bad. Any advice for keeping the fridge and pantry organized and cutting down on food waste? I need simple, practical tips that actually work. That's what we do here. Should I keep duplicates of certain kitchen tools, such as measuring cups or spatulas? My kitchen drawers and cabinets are always a jumbled mess, and I can never find anything when I need it. This seems to be a theme. I want to clean up the clutter, but I don't want to end up with a dysfunctional kitchen. Any advice for getting things organized without making it impossible to find my cooking stuff? I'm looking for simple ideas that won't cost a fortune or require me to redo my whole kitchen. Tips for maintaining a clutter-free kitchen on a day-to-day basis. Okay, let's break this down. A lot of stuff that happens in the kitchen when it comes to decluttering and cleaning are things that have to happen on a pretty regular basis. If there's one area of your life to focus on building habits, the kitchen is the spot to do that. We have to eat to survive. We have to eat multiple times a day. Whether we're eating food from our kitchen, we're getting takeout, or just hanging out in the kitchen because people hang out when they eat, and the kitchen is the hub of the house, it's really important that we develop regular daily habits to stay on top of stuff in the kitchen. Number one, I think if you do your dishes every single day, you're going to be so far ahead of the game. One of my favorite hacks, and this can be a little controversial, but is to run the dishwasher on a schedule. So do not wait for your dishwasher to be full before you run it. It's so much easier to build a habit around something that is routine and scheduled. Having clean dishes that you can unload from the dishwasher every single day at the same time goes such a long way to making it easier to maintain your kitchen. The reason that we tend to wait to do a full load in the dishwasher is because back in the day when dishwashers were first developed, running the dishwasher used a tremendous amount of resources. It used a lot of water. It used a lot of electricity. This is not really the case anymore. Dishwasher technology has come a long way. And now oftentimes it uses less water to run a full dishwashing cycle than it does to hand wash your dishes. And it uses way less electricity. It's so much easier to wash your dishes on a schedule instead of waiting for the dishwasher to be full. This way, you can always stay on top of the dishes. Your sanity is worth more than a full load of dishes in the dishwasher. So if that makes your life easier, then it is 100% worth it, because everything that we do when it comes to housekeeping and house cleaning and decluttering and organization is so that it is easier to maintain our homes, so we have more time to deal with all of the things that life throws at us. So run your dishwasher on a schedule instead of waiting for it to be full. And that's going to be just one anchor in your day that you can start to build a habit off of. We run our dishwasher every night, even if it's not full, although a lot of times it is. And then every morning I unload the dishwasher. So I start my day with an empty dishwasher. That means as the day goes along, we can put the dirty dishes right into the dishwasher. They don't have to pile up in the sink. Run it again at night, unload it in the morning. having that habit every single day makes taking care of the rest of the kitchen, it just makes it so much easier because I don't have to deal with a lot of dishes all at once, right? It's always, the dishes have a place to go. They land in the dishwasher. Most of the time, okay, sometimes my family puts them into the sink to soak, which I think is a way to get around having to actually put the dishes into the dishwasher. Most of the time it works, right? So it makes your life a lot easier. The same thing with cleaning out your fridge. Can you put this onto a schedule? So my favorite schedule for cleaning out the fridge is to attach that habit to Garbage Eve. Garbage Eve is the night before the garbage is picked up. That is Garbage Eve. It's like Christmas Eve, but kind of the opposite. Christmas Eve, you're bringing in a lot of stuff. Garbage Eve, you're doing everything you can to let go of a lot of stuff. So Garbage Eve in our house is Thursday because garbage gets picked up on Friday. On Garbage Eve, I clean out the fridge every single week. It's just a Thursday task. When you get into the habit of cleaning out your fridge, it does not end up being a large job. Occasionally, I have to deep clean the fridge, maybe once every other month, once every 3 months, I do a nice deep clean. But just staying on top of the fridge, just staying on top of that, decluttering it, getting all the old food out. This also helps me stay on top of our food and making sure that food doesn't go to waste. So that was another question in here. Any advice for getting organized and cutting down on food waste? Yes. Clean out your fridge every single week, because what happens is when you're doing your fridge clean out on Garbage Eve, you're going to see what food is starting to go or needs to be eaten. And then you can plan to eat that the next day or two. So my fridge clean out is Thursday. Friday and Saturday is when we eat down the food that needs to be eaten that I found during the fridge clean out. And then I also can plan, because I cook on Sundays, so I can also plan for my cooking based on what we have in the fridge. It's actually saved a ton of money getting on this schedule. Thursday fridge clean out, Friday and Saturday eat down the stuff that really needs to be eaten down, plan for meals for the next week based on what I have on hand. I know what I have on hand because I've looked in the fridge, cleaned it out on Thursday, cook, do a big cook up on Sunday. That should get us through at least a couple of days. Staying on top of the kitchen tasks every single day makes such a big difference. When it comes to the clutter in your kitchen, staying on top of the clutter in your kitchen is also really important. And that's just getting into the habit of every night, shut down your kitchen, clear your counters, put stuff away, put your mail away. Just get into the habit of putting the kitchen to sleep every night, resetting the kitchen. So when you wake up in the morning, you have clear counters, you have clean dishes that you can take right out of the dishwasher. You know what food you have on hand because you've gone through it pretty frequently. Just get, if there's one area of your house that you start to get into the habit of working on it every single day, let it be the kitchen. The kitchen is such a great spot to get under control. There was one question here. Should I keep duplicates of certain kitchen tools such as measuring cups and spatulas? Only if you use them pretty regularly. So we do have two sets of measuring cups, but we use both sets of measuring cups every single week, where there's always people cooking and baking in our kitchen. So it makes sense. If you're not using the items, you're just storing them. They're just creating more work for you because it's more things to keep track of, more things to keep clean, and they're taking up valuable space. If you don't have enough space in your kitchen or in your house, and you have items that you're not using in that space, they're contributing to your lack of space issue. Everything that takes up space contributes to a lack of space issue. If you lack space, then you should definitely, definitely not hang on to anything extra because it's contributing to this overall issue of not having storage for the things that you're actually using. We want to prioritize storing what we're using first and foremost. Things that we're not using that are being stored, why? It's just taking up all of this valuable storage space. So I have so many people that we work with that can't even get into their closets. So all of the storage for the stuff that they're actually using is on the floor. And then the actual storage is inaccessible. So let's move to where we're actually prioritizing storing what we're using. And if there's no storage space for something, then what can you let go of that's being stored, that's not being used? I've been seeing Coach Amber's videos about the Clutter Boss Challenge, and I have no idea what this is. Can you help me understand it? Actually, this is a great segue. The Clutter Boss Challenge is a 90-day challenge to help you develop the habits to maintain your house. So this is a perfect segue from those kitchen questions. It's broken into three 30-day segments. So month one, month two, month three. And each one has slightly different tasks to help you just get into the habit of doing your laundry frequently, get into the habit of doing your dishes every day, get into the habit of decluttering every day, because decluttering should really be something that we do as an equal and opposite action to bringing stuff into our house. If stuff is coming into your house pretty much every day, stuff needs to be going out of your house pretty much every day. So getting into the habit of decluttering and also reducing the amount that you have to deal with overall is really helpful. There's other things in the Clutter Boss Challenge that really make your life easy too. Getting into the habit of planning and scheduling, getting into the habit of taking just 5 minutes to breathe. So all of that is built into the Clutter Boss Challenge. It is a one-time fee to purchase the program. You get a booklet, you get these tracking sheets, you have a Facebook group you can join for accountability. Accountability is built into the Clutter Boss Challenge. So it's just, if the first day of spring would be a great time to dive into the Clutter Boss Challenge if you're looking to build those habits. And habit building, as I've talked about before, is something that takes a long time. It's more than 30 days. That's why this challenge is 90 days long. And it's something that it can be really helpful if you have true accountability. So the only time that I have been able to really develop solid habits in my life is when I've had actual accountability to people who I don't want to let down. When you can find that accountability as you start to build or break habits, it makes a world of difference. It's also why decluttering in a community works. Being accountable to other people makes it easier to stick to something. So accountability is huge. Do you store so you can see it or store tucked away? Just in general in the kitchen, like all stuff in the kitchen. I prefer to store things in the kitchen behind cabinets if possible. I feel like the more I have that I can see, the more visually difficult it is for me to manage. But I know that some people really, it's easier for them to see everything. So for me, that feels overwhelming. For other people, that doesn't feel overwhelming. So what works best for you? If you have a kitchen with cabinets and you choose to store stuff on your counter because you want to see it, because you're using it every day, that can be a little bit of a trap, because you can tell yourself that you're using something every day and that's why it's taking up your valuable counter space, because it's, you're taking it out every single day. But the key is that counters are, why do we have counters in our kitchen? This is a good question to ask yourself, and it actually is a good segue into the next question coming up too. What is the purpose of the thing, right? So the purpose of a counter is to have space to prepare food. A counter is not actually for storage. Cabinets are for storage. Cupboards are for storage. Countertops are for food prep and also maybe to sit and eat or to sit and do your homework, but they're functional space. They're not storage space. So when we start to think about, I'm going to keep this out because I use it every day, you're taking some of that functional space away and turning it into storage space. Now, there's a balance to this. Of course, for some things, that does make sense, like a coffee maker. You're using that every single day. It's big. It might be ridiculous to take it out and put it away every day. But for most things, if you're choosing to take away from the functionality of a space, I would be very careful doing that, because the less functional a space is, the more frustrating a space becomes. Empty, and I see there's a comment here, empty counters are beautiful. For some people, yes. For me, I do love empty counters. For other people, empty counters are not beautiful. So you have to know where you fall on this. We have somebody in our Facebook group who is a military family, and empty counters to her feel like she's moving. So that's not, you know, it really, you have to look at what works for you. But even if you don't, even if you enjoy seeing stuff on your counters, you have to balance it out with the functionality of the counter space in your kitchen. Just be careful. Function first, storage second. Here we go. This goes right into our next question here. I have a chair in my bedroom that is a huge collector of crap. Who can relate to this? The problem is that I don't know what to do with the clothing that tends to land there. It's usually stuff that is not dirty enough yet to wash. I have a name for this collection of clothing, the stuff that you wear it for a little bit of time, you take it off. You don't want to wash it because it's not really to the point of needing to be laundered, but you also are probably not going to fold it and put it away. I call this stuff half dirty clothing. I've actually designated a spot in our closet for half dirty clothing. I don't want it to land on the chair in the bedroom because that feels overwhelming to me. I can see it when I wake up. It feels like a giant to-do list, right? So I don't want to be able to see it. I also am not going to see, and I know myself, right? I'm not going to take the time to go and refold it and put it away. So I actually have a little stool in my closet that is specifically for half dirty clothing. And once every couple of weeks, I just scoop up everything on that stool and wash it because it's been there for a long time. So it's probably not going to get worn in the next couple of weeks. So half dirty clothing has a home because it's a collection. It has a designated spot where I'm not going to wake up and see it. I have a walk-in closet, so it's in the closet. I can close the door. I know what it is and I know how to handle it. It's really only for half dirty clothing. New clothing doesn't land there. Clean clothing doesn't land there. It's literally a designated spot for half dirty clothing. Thinking about function. If you have a chair in your bedroom, what is the function of that chair? And if you're not using that chair to sit in, and you never will, and you also don't want it to be a collector of crap, get rid of the chair. It's not worth having an unused chair in, you know, free up that space, because empty space is also a real positive. It allows us to breathe and think. If that chair has a function and you want to sit in it, make a choice every day to sit in the chair and read or have your cup of coffee or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in that chair. Make it a priority. Use the chair as you intended for it to be functioned. And that will also make you get into the habit of taking the stuff that lands on the chair and putting it away so you can actually use the chair. I want to deep clean for spring, but every time I start cleaning, I stop because the clutter is overwhelming. How do people actually deal with this? We get a little confused between clutter, decluttering, and cleaning. A lot of times we lump them into one thing. We call it all cleaning, but when you start cleaning, it's hard to clean because of the clutter. So then you start decluttering and then you never get to the cleaning and then you just feel exhausted and you stop. So I think it can be really helpful. If you are planning on decluttering, declutter. That's it. Get rid of excess. If you're planning on cleaning, know that this is not the time to be decluttering. Plan to, and you'll never hear me recommend doing this during any other circumstance, but plan to shuffle the clutter so that you can clean. Be really focused on what you're actually intending to do. Cleaning is sanitizing. So cleaning is sanitizing surfaces. Decluttering is getting rid of excess. Picking up and putting away is what I consider to be like maintenance. So clearing off the counter every night, that's a maintenance task. Those are things that you want to just develop habits around. So you have decluttering, getting rid of excess, cleaning, which is sanitizing surfaces, essentially. And then maintenance tasks, which are those things that have to get done every day, such as picking up stuff that's in drop zones, doing the dishes, doing the laundry. That's maintenance. You want to develop habits around those. Cleaning, which is sanitizing, you want to develop a schedule for this. And then decluttering, the point that you're at right now, it's probably you want to do this on a regular basis because we were never taught to declutter every single day. So we're bringing stuff in, we have to get rid of stuff every day. Decluttering ultimately becomes a maintenance task, but for a long time, it's its own beast that needs to be dealt with separately. So declutter a lot until you're living within your space. And then decluttering is maintenance and you're just on a cleaning schedule and you have habits around maintenance. And that's when life is easy. When you have a lot of clutter, it just complicates all of it. So three things: decluttering, cleaning, maintenance. They're not the same. Really understanding the task that you're trying to accomplish and just focusing on that, it makes a really big difference. A lot of times, like, there is a little cleaning with maintenance. There is a little cleaning with decluttering. There's a little decluttering with cleaning and a little decluttering with maintenance, but they're three distinctly different tasks. Know what you're doing and just focus on that when you start to clean, just clean. When you start to declutter, just declutter. When you're doing your maintenance, just do your maintenance. It is time to wrap up this episode of Ask a Clutter Boss, the internet's best, only, and most exciting decluttering advice show. If you're watching on YouTube, again, please go ahead and like and subscribe. That really helps us out. If you have questions for next time, please submit them to support@prioritizeyoursanity.com. And here is our cheesy tagline for this show. You are a clutter boss. It is time to prioritize your sanity. Until next week, have a great one, everyone.